All right, Al, welcome back to the Contractor Fight. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and as I like always to say, when I come back, you can fool them once, but if I get invited back, that means I did something well, so thank you.
Yeah, no, it's glad to have you back, and I know we got a great response from, I believe it was episode 99 of ours that you did, that you were the guest on back in the spring of 2017. So if you're just tuning into this now, go back and look for our first interview that we did where we talked about a lot of cool stuff. But I know today, as we record this, we are in the month near the end of November. And this is the time of year when things in a lot of ways are winding down and plans are made for the new year and things like that. So Al, I thought we'd get together again and have a conversation about what some of those things contractors could put on their radar right now to help them as they approach the new year and wrap up the current year. So what do you got for us, man?
Yeah, you know, I used to finally come up for air as I moved towards the month of December. And, you know, when you're overloaded every day, Tom, you just wake up and you just want to focus on the problem at hand. And I understand that. And what I call that is firefighting. But if you're never in fire prevention mode, everything is going to be exactly the same over and over again, the definition of insanity. So as I moved along in my career, I finally learned that, you know what, just like, not that I'm a big fan of New Year's resolutions, and you can, people just well document how well those work. This is a little different. This is a little different. What I'm recommending is in the month of December, I just, while I was in the moment of pain, pain can sometimes offer clarity, and it did. I would think about the top 10 things I wanted to do moving into the next year and just get them literally on paper. And even today, because things are digital, people lose this thing about the hand-to-brain connection. There is a great power when you write some stuff down. Now, not everything. Yeah. I think that I'm more digital than I'm manual these days, but the fact that I bothered to write down the 10 things I wanted to work about on the next year. And then here's the tricky part. You can write what you want, but if you don't write a goal for making it happen, then you can never be late. So when I work with contractors, one of the problems is they never want to commit to a goal because they can never be late, they can never be wrong, and they've let themselves off the hook. Sound familiar?
Oh, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And when I point the finger, four still facing me, as they say. So I was just like that. And it wasn't until I was willing to write it down, clarify it in objective terms. So let's just use the thing, which is I'm 10 trucks now, and by the end of the year, I want to have 15 trucks rolling. Well, that's objective. Either you are or you're not. You can say, oh, I want to get bigger. What does bigger mean? You never can measure that. Or, you know, I want more phone calls. Well, how many calls do you want? Do you want another 20 a week, 50 a week, 100 a week? Because that's going to change how you go about getting those. And until you're willing to commit to writing it down, making it objective, and then putting a time frame to it, a goal. Now, there is no such thing as the goal police. Nobody's going to come and take your dog or your first child if you don't hit it.
Right.
The hardest part for us all, we're human beings, is accountability. And it's funny because as owners, we expect our people to be accountable to us. But one of the great contractors I've worked with over the years, when the turn finally came for him and things were going great, I said, Tim, what was the change? He goes, when I was willing to be accountable to you, Al, I knew you were going to call me up and I was ahead of time and ready. And that really made a difference because then I could hold others accountable to me. And before that, I felt a little bit like a fraud. And I thought that was really powerful in that it is helpful. Now, if you can't do it yourself, join an affinity group or join a mentoring group or someplace where you do have this outside accountability for what you want different as you move through next year. If you have the discipline, or even in your own company, if there's a owner, manager, key people, that's the purpose of coming together, not to point fingers, but to be accountable to one another. That makes a big difference. But my goal or my objective here, Tom, I want to make sure it's clear, is don't pick 100 things you want to do next year. Because that's going to be frustrating for you. And really, even if you tried to do it and you had money and you had the time, you're just going to drive everybody crazy. So pick the top 10 things you want different next year, put them in objective, put a goal down, and start working out how can we reach those objective goals.
So, you know, it's funny when you talk about going after 100 things or whatever, the old Chinese proverb, if you chase two rabbits, you don't catch either, came to mind.
I like that. I'm going to steal that, Tom.
Yeah, go for it. You know, it's original to me too, you know. But so let's listen, there's some businesses, some of us, all of us who've ever been in business, sometimes you can look at your business and there's just things that just jump off the page at you as you're doing a review. There's things that just slap you in the face. They're the most obvious things in the world that you have to deal with and things like that. But what do you tell the guy? Maybe there's no big fire in the business right now, and he's looking at the year. And I look at this year end kind of like, you know, a football coach looks at game film. You know, the game's over, we're looking at film the next day. And you rewind it a few times, you play it a few times, you do a little evaluation of each player and things like that. So that's how I view this whole end of the year. It's just a way for us to get better. It's not like you were saying, it's not like to point the finger and rip on anyone or yourself or anything like that. But it's, you know, how can we just take what we're doing and get a little bit better each time that we look at the film? And so for the guy who doesn't have some crazy, obvious crap going on in his business right now, what are some questions that person might ask themselves near the end of the year to help identify some possible targets and goals for them to work on in the new year?
You know, I think, Tom, that's really good. One of the things I took away as you were sharing that, which is the thought that, you know, what I preach actually you do every day is same applies to the end of the year. If you did it, feel good. Because the more you do that, the more it's going to happen. So don't start with the what I didn't get done. Why don't you start with what you did get done this last year? Because it's going to build up a strength in you to fortify you for next year ahead. So yeah, take time to recognize what you did well. So using the game film analogies, you made the tackle. Well, let's celebrate that. How did that happen? Let's make it happen again. And you know, there's a lot of people in business that stuff just happens accidentally. You know, they accidentally made money because of the bid, or they accidentally made money because of somebody did something right. But there's plenty to be learned from when things go well, not just when things go wrong. That's a mistake. No, nobody meets on anybody. Nobody discusses anything. Nobody reviews anything until something went wrong. So then your staff knows it's a beat me up session, which is really kind of a sad way to go about business. So you want to meet and have a discussion about what went right. Let's do more. What went wrong? Let's figure out how not to do that again, and all's forgiven. And let's take a look ahead. So if you have a company that has no problems, here's what I'm going to say is it is a false sense of no problems, and that business is going up a hill. And yeah, when you're going up a hill and you want your people to come with you, as you're going up the hill, it's wise to know what you need to take as you climb that hill so you're prepared, but also know where the plateaus are so you can catch your breath. Because there is no such thing as standing still. You're either going up or you're going down, and rarely have I ever seen anything else. The joy, though, is getting to the plateau, celebrating, and get ready to go to the next level. So for people like that, you have the ones that you were saying that are not under this duress and things are going pretty good, it's easy to fall into compliance, kind of to laziness and thinking that it's all done. Let me share a quick story if I have time here, Tom.
Sure.
So one of my contractors, he did phenomenal. He grew to 7 trucks, and they were all great. You know, they were what I always preach, great at sales and communications, operation, technical, and they're out just making money. The owner's having a good life and thinks he pretty much has it. So the way the analogy I use is we as owners don't get to run down the football field, score a touchdown and throw the ball down and think, oh, we're over. The game is always on. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, one of his guys decides they don't want to live in this big town of 100,000 people, so he's gone. The next person decides they don't want to do night calls anymore, so they're going to go find a job at a utility. And I forgot what the other person left. And all of a sudden, instead of having 7 well-trained techs out there, he's got 4, which is a major hit to revenue. But worse than that, I told him when this happened, is that your guys are going to come to you, and they're going to put you over the barrel now because they feel in the power of, you know, what are you going to do next? So here's what I recommend is make sure you take on call and use this moment of pain to remember that you're never done. And here's what my recommendation is. decide to run your company as if you're going to be 20 trucks, because then, you know, you have this depth and it's never over. And you always have to be in what I call recruiting, hiring, training, orienting, training and retaining. There's always this process. People come, people go, all of that kind of stuff. So anyway, the quick story here is within 2 years, he put all the systems we had worked on all the years, put them back into work. And he was up to 19 trucks in exactly 2.5 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So for the guys that think they're done, there's always something. You know, how many more calls could I get? Could I open up a spoke shop away from my hub an hour? There's another area. Maybe there's another service I should be doing. Or whatever there is, that's a delightful challenge. I actually worked with a great guy. And we got done, you know, 2 years later. Phenomenal company. They've gone to phenomenal things. But he said to me one day, he said, you know, Al, I always had these doors I had to walk through in business. And he said, when I came to work with you, I thought I'd be done. But I'm finding I still have to walk through doors. And the only difference is I hated the doors I used to walk through. I'm excited about the new doors ahead. This is great.
Well, you know, I sit here and, you know, it's such a cliche, but, you know, if you're not growing, you're dying.
Yes.
And if the, it's a cliche, but it's also, I believe, true, because when, you know, I hear a lot of times, you know, when I talk to contractors, things like that, I'll hear guys say to me, well, I don't really want to grow anymore. Okay. And I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean? What do you mean you don't want to grow anymore? Well, my sales are fine where they're at. And, you know, so maybe they've reached a point where they're quote unquote fulfilled, they're content, their needs are being met and all this other stuff. I said, well, is top line revenue the only area that you can grow? And he's like, what do you mean? And I said, well, what about developing your people? You know, what about helping them reach their goals? And, you know, maybe you got a guy in your team, you know, Al, you were talking about some guys that left. I had a guy who quit because his wife wanted him to have more regular hours in the summertime and not work all the overtime we were pulling.
Sure.
And so he ended up leaving to go get a factory job where he made, you know, less money, but he just worked consistent hours and it was better for her family. So had I had my, you know, radar on a little better, you know, I could have looked at that area of how can I help my employees grow and reach their goals. Well, one of his goals was actually to have more of a balance at home. Well, we can work around that if we know what's going on and we know what the goals of our people are. So those listening, when we're talking about growth here, you know, Al, we could be talking about, you know, bottom line net profit. We could be talking about developing our people and helping them achieve the things that they want to achieve. We could be talking obviously about top line revenue. So guys, if you're not growing in some area, you're eventually going to just, you know, fade away.
Yeah. Tom, the things I wanted to address, because this is such a great avenue to go down. I just finished a seminar, and it was a company with a fellow who's about 60 years old who came with his right-hand man. And he said, you know, Al, you keep talking about growth, and, you know, I'm happy where I am. I said, Tom, I understand you're happy where you are, but there are people at your company that want to go and grow.
Bingo.
And the reason you don't want to get any bigger is because you're thinking, I can't do more than I already do. And you haven't yet learned how to work through others. So that's, of course, you know, with the manuals, documenting the policies and procedures and creating staffing where you teach them ahead of time so that you don't have to be the end-all, be-all, be in a million places. So a lot of owners are exhausted, and the thought of growing is scary to them because they're going, well, I already work 16 hours. How many more hours a day should I work? And they haven't yet learned that, you know, by being systematic and by empowering others, you can go and grow as much as you want. I'm going to share a quick story. We have a time. Yeah. Yep. So one of the companies I worked with that actually is now my franchise, Zoom Drain. I'm part of a franchise myself and Ellen Rohr and two guys that I had met when they were very young back in 2005. And they were just, you know, same typical owners, you know, one brother working really hard. And when I told them that we could do more and grow more, inside he was thinking, are you kidding? And the other brother is like, got these big dreams but doesn't know how to do any of this stuff and wants to do it. I just said, you know what? Let's just see if we can get the guys dressed right today. Let's see if we can get them to a meeting and then see how far we can go. Well, this goes really well. Then I introduce Jim to Ellen Rohr, who's a financial person.
Right.
And Ellen calls up Jim and says, well, what time do you want me there tomorrow? And Ellen is like me. We're used to contractors. If they could, they would like us there at 6 a.m. So she's waiting to hear what he responds. And he goes, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And Ellen pauses and goes, I'm sorry, did you say 2 o'clock in the afternoon? He goes, yeah, I come in late because I can't stand my people. I wait till they go home and I do most of my good work at night. Oh, sorry. And so this is where Jim started. He was frustrated. He was so frustrated. But he tells the story today, which is there are 20 some odd trucks. We franchised in all the different places, but he loves his people. I didn't say like his people. He loves his people because he came to accept that a lot of what they weren't doing was his fault. He had never trained them. He just, you know, expected them to read his mind and to do these things without any direction, without any systems or anything. And so he first came to like them, but he loves them now. And what he spends his time on is how can they own one of these franchises? How can they go and grow? How can they make more money? Now, yes, more money comes back to him, which is the way it should be. But this is an exciting way to where you can go. So I hope that is encouraging to those out there.
Hey, listen, if you're a contractor that is struggling growing their business, I want to make sure that you are aware of the Contractor Fight Accelerate Group. This group was designed to help you level up your business IQ in the areas of marketing and leadership and production and profit and cash flow, creating a vision, creating a budget, all these different things, guys, everything that you would ever need to know to educate yourself, to take those next steps in your business, you can find and accelerate. We have weekly live calls where you can ask questions. You have access to a membership site with worksheets and spreadsheets, and there's weekly homework to keep you on track to help you move forward and accelerate your success. So head to thecontractorfight.com/accelerate to check it out. And I look forward to seeing you on the other side. You know, it's funny because this conversation today, we said we were going to talk about end of year planning and setting goals for the new year and all that other stuff. We don't script any of these conversations. We just get on, we hit record and we start having a conversation. And I'm encouraged and a little surprised in a way how it's taken more of a people route today, you know, because that's, I mean, listen, man, without having solid people in place, you're not going to achieve anything in a service business. I mean, you've got to be rock solid with the people. And Al, this is, you know, finding good people, you know, is probably the biggest challenge to most contractors across the country right now. You know, people aren't coming into the trades and all that other stuff we've talked about before. So I also believe that when you have a good plan, when you have, you know, you talk about your operating manuals and your 7-power contractor stuff and all that other stuff we've talked about on episode 99 of this show. When you have all those processes and systems in place, winners are going to be more likely to be attracted to you and stay.
Yes. Yes.
So,
yes,
so, yes. So talk a little bit about that, just how a good plan will help you build your team.
Well, that was it. You know, again, waking up every day, most of us contractors are just interested in putting out a fire today. So it's kind of like wanting to win the battle at the expense of winning the war. And that really is it. Until you master what I always preach about, Tom, which is the 7 powers, planning, operations, staffing, sales coaching, marketing, and finance, you're always going to be struggling. It's not a million things. It's 7 things that I rattled off there. Yeah. And if you go to my website, which I'll give out later on, there's a cheat sheet that tells you about these 7 things. But you've got to be systematic, or what you're doing is taking good people. Years ago, Tom, I was not born enlightened. And we used to have great people every day overcoming no systems or broken systems at our company. And one day, I don't know why, but I walked in, talked to my 2 older brothers, my dad, and said, you know what? I've been thinking about it. How about if we just had really good people in really good systems and let's see how far they can go? And to their credit, they said, yeah, let's do that. And that is what really makes a difference. And when Jim is sad today, the fellow I spoke about, he's sad because the people that he couldn't hang on to or that he got rid of, he wishes they would arrive today, because today he was more ready for them. Does that make sense?
That totally makes sense. My business partner, Steve Schinholzer in the Contractor Sales Academy, talks about this all the time. He's got a great team. Two of his guys that started as laborers ended up buying 60, 70% of his company, you know, over the past decade or so. And everyone's like, oh, you got so lucky that you got these guys. And he's like, no, I burned through about 50 others that were just like them, that I was just not the leader they needed me to be, you know? I think, you know, to the guys that sit here and go, I can't find good people, my guys are morons or whatever it is, you got to look in the mirror and you got to own your crap and make sure that you're, you can't point the finger at your guys until you can look in the mirror and say you've done everything you can to set them up for success. I mean, that's just bottom line with me. So, Al, let me ask you this. So, you got somebody driving down the road in their truck right now. They're listening to this and they feel like they have this mountain of shit that they got to implement 2018. I mean, there's just like, you know, I need more leads and I don't have this in place and I don't have that in place. And how would you help that guy filter through everything that he feels he has to do and set the one goal that matters the most in the beginning? What would that look like?
Well, to me, the first thing first is you have to download all that stuff that's rattling around your head. You've got to get it on paper or get it in your computer. Get the whole list of all of the things you feel you need to do. So the guys need sales training. The warehouse needs to be straightened out. The trucks are not set up correctly. The office is not laid out right. There aren't enough calls. And if the calls you get aren't from the right people at the right time, they're kind of worthless calls. So I could, you know, I don't really know if I'm charging enough. I don't have a good flat rate book. I could go on this whole list. It's all great stuff. But until you list it out either on paper or list it out in a computer and get the whole list, which is what I call the master project list. So think of a funnel. The top of the funnel is the master project list, is what Tom is just talking about. As you're driving down the road, you've got to get time to put that list down, because that's where everything starts. And then the way I recommend through Planning Power is you boil that big giant list down with two giant strainers. One strainer is the one that's what's going to solve your biggest problem or challenge. So everybody drives away from your shop, Tom, and they get a half hour away and their truck is not set up right and they don't have the materials they need for 80% of the time. So they're running around all day trying to get parts. That a good example?
Yeah, that's never happened, right?
No, never happened to anybody. And then, they couldn't switch from truck to truck because they're not set up. So that's another issue. Or the warehouse doesn't have what it is, or the warehouse is wide open and you thought you had 100 boxes of half inch copper L's, and what you found out is now you have zero. You know, so it's that kind of challenge, the things that shoot you in the foot every day would be one reason that it would work its way down the list. The other way is grow profitable. So if you actually pulled them off and did sales training, or you had meetings, or you worked through a better flat rate book or whatever else that you do, or you took on a new service area or a new type of service, would that help you be growing profitable? For one of those two reasons, that big fat list that's rolling in your head rolls down to what I call the top 30. So as you look towards 2018, that means come December of 2018, how many of those 30 projects and habits did you get done? Because that will make the greatest progress in your company. You said it would fix your biggest challenge and problem or help you grow and be profitable. So what's left? Tom, you cannot work on 30 things at the same time effectively. I don't care how big your company, and I've worked with companies with 200 people, it's just chaos. So you use the same giant strainers one more time. What will help you fix the biggest problem or challenge, or what will help you grow and be more profitable? And you boil the 30 down to your top five. And the top five has to be written, has to be on the wall, so that you and anybody else is accountable to looking at that every week. I don't care how crazy your week is. You said this is the path. So every week you're accountable to that board. What did you do to make those top five come to life?
That's huge, because you know, you said a couple things there, writing it down and posting it, right? So it's visible. And you said, you know, cause you said this was important. How many of us through the years in our businesses have gotten the company together and you're like the king standing on the balcony. You're like, from now on, this is how we will report on all sales or whatever it is. Okay. And then like you do it for 3 days and then it goes away.
What do we do at New Year's resolutions, right?
Yeah. Bingo. And so two things you said there. Number one, you're like, man, you got to write that stuff down and it's got to be visible. But I think the other big thing, and I'm always pounding on this like daily with people I work with, is you have to have a regular, I don't care what you call it, operations meeting, whatever, where you literally have people talk about the stuff that's up on the wall. So, hey, where are we at with this? Hey, this is where we're at with this. So that every day you have that meeting, whether it's a 5-minute little huddle at the tailgate, whether it's a weekly company meeting, those things that you said that you're talking about your five things, if we're not talking about those, if we're not making those, giving those importance and priority, then our people are never going to follow and those things are never going to change. And then a year from now, you're going to, you know, have a business that, you know, has a bunch of unmet resolutions once again.
Yeah, it you're right on target. I'm a big believer in meetings, and early in my life, I had no time for meetings.
Right.
So we ran around with our heads chopped off in all different directions, setting more and more fires. Now, I do talk about it. You and I discussed it, Blue, last time, is I have meeting guidelines. Mm-hmm. So these aren't meetings like the meetings all you guys out there hate, which is what I call donut meetings. Which is you come to a meeting, you eat a donut, you drink a cup of coffee, and you talk about the same thing you talked about last time. Or it's just a bitch fest, which is somebody did something wrong, and now we all have to come together and get punished because you, Tom, didn't clean up the last job you were on. Those are where the mistakes are. This isn't what I'm speaking to. There are meetings, and there is nobody at your company. Once you have good resources, that means manuals, training, and you're talking about what you did this week and going after the three things. What did we do right? Do it again. What we do wrong, let's fix that. And what should we be doing to get ready for next week? So everybody is at a short, tight meeting. But those meetings have a very tight agenda. They start on time, they end on time. Somebody takes notes. And that's how you improve the company. And one of those things, of course, is to get to the top five projects, which is what are we doing to make these things happen?
Yep. So I'm going to add something on that. You know, now we got these five things, right? We did the brain dump, we downloaded to the paper, you go through the process, you get down to five main initiatives, five main projects that you got to achieve. Here's where I want to take some pressure off some of the owners that are listening to this. As an entrepreneur, as a business owner, as the leader of your thing, your company, the tendency is to feel like you got to do everything on your own. Okay. I know we've never been there. And,
no.
And so I want to, once you come up with these five things, I'm going to ask those of you listening to this to then ask the question. Okay. So here's, give me one of the five things. What would an issue be?
What do you think? Well, one of the things is the trucks aren't stocked, right? So I call it the model truck.
All right,
building your model truck.
Okay. So we got the model truck problem in our business. The very next question that you should ask is, who can solve this issue? And take yourself out of the equation. Okay. Remember earlier, Al, we were talking about growth comes in a lot of different ways. And this is an area that you as a guy, as a leader, can grow and empower his people and get out of the way. That's where earlier you were like, oh my God, I'm already working 16 hours. Why would I want to grow? Because that owner feels like he's got to be the one doing everything.
Yep.
But, you know, there was a, we don't have time for it, but there's been story after story after story of how a business will grow in every area once the owner chooses to get the heck out of the way. And one of the fastest ways you can do that is, like you said, get your list down to the most important things and then ask that question, okay, take myself out of this. Who can solve this issue? And then give them that authority, spell out what the outcome needs to look like and get the hell out of their way.
I love it. As a matter of fact, I just did operating manuals workshop here. And one of the stories I shared with is I always thought I had to be the problem solver. I was a company of 70 people. And
it's so much pressure, isn't it?
It's brilliant
every day.
Exactly. And then, so we're in a meeting, we're trying to write the manuals together. And one of our big problems was we were 7 to 4, 8 to 5, 10 to 7, 2 to 11, 5 to 2 a.m. were shifts, not on call. The guy would get home at 2 o'clock in the morning. I would come in at 6:30, try to read the messages, didn't know what he said. I'd have to wake him up after he just got to bed. And so this was always a problem that was kicking us in the butt. And so we're in this meeting, and Joe puts his hand up. He goes, I got an idea. Why don't you get a dedicated phone number, a dedicated digital answering machine, and when I come off at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to say, Mrs. Smith on 123 Main Street is expecting us back at 9:30. I already tagged the part on the left. Have a good night. And we all did a collective slap of our forehead because Joe had it. He had it. And really the importance of that story is it was the first time in my life that I came to realize that I do not have to be the one that has all the answers.
That's liberating.
It is.
What prevents us from getting to that point is that we, and I'll speak for me, what kept me from getting to that point was my ego. Some crap in my own life, my own psyche, whatever you want to call it, where I felt like because I was the boss, I had to have all the answers because I'm the leader. I got to always know what to do. And what I had learned over time was, I am way more powerful and effective and a lot smarter when I engage, when I bring in my whole team and we put our brain on it. And it's a mastermind, right? That's really what it is in a lot of ways. It's that group think. And so get your egos out of the way, bring your people into it. And then Al, this does another thing. You talked earlier about your people, like the owner that said, hey, I'm good. I don't want to grow. And you were like, well, your people want to grow.
Yes.
Right. And so this is a perfect example of how you can help your people grow because now they feel like they're in an environment where, there's not some ceiling over them all the time because you always have to be calling the shots.
Yes. And at Zoom, they campaign to get one of their projects on the master project list into a top five. They at that place want their project on the board. How's that? Instead of being handed down. They're out there working every day, filling these positions. They can't wait to get some fingerprints on this company and help. They want to be on a part of a winning team. They want to have a voice, which is why, like even the manuals, Tom, people go, oh, they won't want that. They go, yeah, they do. Because right now you base it on your opinion and they can never make you happy. They don't know what you want. They're not mind readers. And so if you bring the manuals out and you let them have some input on the rules of how we play, they want that. Just like they want this chance to help you lift. They want to go and grow. And if you don't help them, they'll either do one of two things. They'll jump ship, bad for them, bad for you. Or they'll stay on board with their body, but not their heart and soul. And you need their heart and soul.
So you've brought up your manuals a few times here. I know you've had a couple workshops recently on them.
Yep.
As we wind this up today, tell us a little bit more about that and then fill us in on where we can find you if somebody's interested in getting in touch.
So the manuals, basically years ago when we finally realized we just were judging people with nothing, we finally hired a writer, an industry friend of mine, and we had meetings and spent about what today is $150,000 in today's dollars to get these manuals in place, which for every box on our org chart defined, what it is that we do. And so that is just one of the things that's called operating power, but it's the policies and procedures at every spot. I took a year putting the outline together, just a year, and I didn't take off while I wasn't working. It was a year. So the way to find me is at the number 7powercontractor.com. Number 7powercontractor.com. Come to the website. There's a really good book. Yes, I wrote the book, but I spent a lot of time with a really good editor taking the million. I've got 250 columns and blogs and more than that. It was really hard to condense all that material, Tom, down to a very tight book. I wrote it for contractors like myself who can only spend 2 to 4 hours reading. It is well worth the read. It talks about the 7 powers, and that is how you can begin to take, control of your class, of your company. And my goal ahead is to create more and more projects so that I can get to more and more people. That's what I'll be busy doing on my own projects for 2018.
There you go. Well, I love it. And I'm really appreciative that you made it happen, that we could get you on here before the year end and have this conversation. So we'll make sure that all that stuff is in the show notes. And y'all get out there, get busy, and head over to Al's website, download that checklist, start with that. And with that, Travis, bring in the guitars. And Al, I appreciate you being here today, man. Have a great day.
Hey, Tom. Thanks so much. Have a great new year. Have a Thanksgiving.